Food.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic. Here to help you feel your absolute best. With over 17 years of beauty innovation excellence. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
We're back.
We are back.
I feel like we've been gone for summer, but actually we've been gone since Christmas. So it's the opposite.
Yeah, it's been wild. It's been a crazy 6 months.
Yeah,
crazy. Well, for me anyway. We've done the show.
Yeah,
we did Future Beauty in
March.
In March, we launched Future Fertility, which was an outrageous gamble and an outrageous success.
Yeah, and we scooted off to Dubai to try and
to Dubai.
Get some money over there for.
Yeah, well, we're gonna go to. We went to meet the housewives.
Yes,
we met some of the housewives.
We met some housewives in Dubai. That
yes,
was fun.
We did.
Speaking of housewives. Our guest coming in later on the show today is Vicky Notaro.
Does she know that you've gone and met the housewife?
Actually, I haven't told her about the Dubai
she's
ones.
She's going to lose her shit.
Yeah, she is going to lose her shit.
Very excited. So
very exciting.
Vicky is an award-winning journalist who's just written, she's number one at the moment, isn't
it's
she?
The number one book. Well, it's the number one debut of 2024.
Number one debut of 2024. It'll be number one very shortly if it isn't already.
It's called Reality Check.
And it is... like an awesome book.
It's kind of Jackie Collins, Marion Keyes vibe. It's great. It's a really good summer pickup.
And ironically, it's about two sisters.
Yeah. two sisters who get dumped simultaneously and their lives are turned upside down.
That old chestnut, eh?
That was us a few years ago. Unfortunately, we did have a momager. But
we're good poster children for the divorcees who turn their lives around.
We are. Yeah, divorce not dead.
Divorce not dead. Oh, yeah.
Anyway. So back to our podcast.
We're very excited to be back to our podcast. And thanks so much to everybody who's been onto us and sent us in their funny confessions and their stories. We're going to get to them later on. And we're hoping that this is going to be a really exciting series for everybody. So I suppose our new kind of format.
You're like a porn star.
Our new format. We're going to start with a little segment on celebrities.
Yeah. I mean, we spend all our days like sending each other pictures going, what she had done? What has he had done?
I know.
I mean, so we figured, I mean, we can't be the only ones, you know, like forensically looking at pictures going, what's they doing? What are they up to?
Yeah.
Because they're just all looking too good at the moment. I mean, obviously.
Ageless.
Yeah. Like we are in Benjamin Button era. Right now, basically, when people are genuinely reversing, not just like a little bit, not tweaking, like full on, like cocooning themselves and coming out like a butterfly 20 years younger.
Like, Jennifer Aniston has not aged a day since Friends. Not a day. She looks
She has. Anyway, we're not going to talk about Jennifer Aniston.
We're going to talk about her ex.
Yeah, exactly. Brad Pitt. I mean, like 100% the facelift. 100%.
100%.
And it's interesting, all the males in Hollywood now are going down the face of her because they can't really do the Botox and the fillers because it looks ridiculously obvious on men.
Yeah.
Whereas
the filler does, Botox doesn't. I think
But the facelift. And I mean, I think men are very much
and
one
I think
and done
he's
as well.
He's also had a bleph. He's definitely had the upper bleph where you cut the.
Anyone who gets a facelift, generally, I mean, you get the whole thing done while you're under. So you're under, you get your. They're all getting these kind of vertical restore facelifts, which is just another kind of buzzword for a smaz or a deep plane facelift.
It's a surgical technique.
Yeah. But look, facelifts like 30, 40 years ago, even 10 years ago, they generally like literally cut the skin around and they lift it, right?
They pulled
that was it. It was,
and you looked like a big.
Yeah. Wind tunnel victim, basically.
Yeah.
You know, whereas nowadays what they do is they go in, they lift all the smaz, as they call it, they lift the muscular structure, they kind of rehang the muscles underneath. So, and then they put the skin back on top of it. And it's like much more realistic.
Amazing.
And I mean, the results are absolutely off the charts. And like, so Brad Pitt is a really good example. Like, he doesn't look weird or anything like that. I mean, he just looks like him 25 years ago, you know?
Listen, I would still ride him into battle. Like, oh my God.
I know, but you never.
That man is beautiful.
He is beautiful. Oh. And there's no stopping. Like, I mean, but fair. But the fact that he's a man, but I suppose everyone on Instagram, how people like kind of identify the faceless, apart from the fact that they suddenly look 20 years younger, is the earlobes. The earlobes is a big thing because when they are doing the facelift surgeons and stuff like that, the earlobes is generally where you kind of pull things underneath.
Yeah.
And the earlobe that actually changes shape. So yeah. A lot of the ones are like, look at their earlobes before and after. And you're like, why am I looking at earlobes?
I was watching somebody who like did a whole, like they dissected Brad's face and they were like, look at his ears. And I mean, whoever did it is obviously amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
But the surgeons now are like charging like astronomical money for facelifts. Like you're talking 250k and they only do one a week. But there are
actually Demi Moore's was 250k and your man who did it was that guy who did the scarless rhino, Dr. Raj.
Candoodle.
Yeah.
Really?
And, well, apparently he's the go-to for them all over in Hollywood.
I know, but some people about like I made an art out of it and I suppose that's what you're paying for. You're paying for the art. And like if you're a celebrity, like for example, Brad Pitt, like, and it's 250 grand and he probably got it for free. Let's call a spade a spade. But like 250 grand is going to give you another 10 years of acting longevity. And you'll make that back in a day if you're him. You know what I mean?
So it's what appearance for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and like you're just taking the plunge. But it's interesting that it's men leading the way as well, not just women, that the men are feeling the pressure and the kind of punch to kind of look great at 60. You know, it's not just all on the girls anymore, which is kind of good.
Yeah, no.
It's good and bad, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I suppose it kind of
raising the bar for everyone, not just the female race.
So now we're all in.
We're all in
the gutter, looking at the stars. Literally, the stars. It's interesting. It's definitely changing the game a little bit. But like, I mean, I was watching an Instagram post the other day, and it was like, you know, the Golden Girls then and the Golden Girls now, and like the Golden Girls, the original Golden Girls, are you know Blanche and
they're grannies.
Yeah, but they're all 50s. They're all in their 50s.
No, and the eldest one. What was the eldest one?
60 fucking 8 or something like that.
Is she only 68?
Outrageous. I can't remember. I'm going to go and Google it now. But she was in her late 60s. She's not even... She looks like an 80 or 90 year old now.
I know.
And then underneath it, there was like, you know, the new Golden Girls. And it was like...
Jennifer Lopez.
J-Lo, Demi.
Yeah.
La la la. And I think...
They're all the same age.
Blanche and Demi Moore are the same age or something like that. Which is just, I mean, outrageous.
I was kind of the whole facelift thing. I was like, oh no, it's kind of extreme. But then when we went to Dubai.
Oh my God, yeah.
So we were over in Dubai and we were like researching, meeting people for Future Beauty and Health Dubai.
And they've all basically...
They've all had facelifts. Yeah. And they all look amazing, right?
Well...
Now, I think they look amazing.
Can we go...
I felt like their granny. Like, I felt like I was the granny bringing out my grandchildren.
I did feel for the first time in my whole life that I was a bit hick.
You are. You are hick all the time. What are you talking about? You are.
Jesus.
You are hick.
True.
You're definitely.
I am not hick.
You don't look hick today, which is quite surprised.
What?
The first time in a long time I was like, I'm not mortified to be your sister.
Oh my God.
So what have you been like obsessing over the last few months aesthetics wise?
Well, after all the abuse I have received and trolling I've received from both you and online about my eyebrows, I have discovered the solution. I finally discovered the solution.
Oh
it
my God.
Is eyebrow implants.
You're going to get an eyebrow implant?
Like, I wouldn't be completely opposed to the idea.
Okay.
It's the exact same as hair transplants.
Yes.
So what they've been doing for years, take a strip of hair at the back of your head.
Do they take a strip or little follicles?
They take the strip. They take the old strip. And well, there's a couple of different ways to do it, but they can take the strip of hair. The same way they do normal hair transplants for, you know, mostly men.
Uh-huh.
They basically treat the individual hair follicles and then implant them into your eyebrows.
Okay, here I can see a problem already.
Go on.
So when you see men's hair transplants, okay, and I've seen some female ones, and I've seen some incredible ones, but the hair grows. Okay, whereas eyebrow hair doesn't grow. So you're going to have to be like, what, trimming them all the time, are you?
Don't we have to trim them all the time, Minnie?
Yeah, but it doesn't grow long. The eyebrows don't grow long. They grow wiry.
I don't actually know the answer to that. I don't actually know the answer.
You have to go in for an eyebrow trim.
I know. I think I'd prefer to go for... I have not had to pluck...
Well, I'm glad that you're actually considering.
I haven't had to pluck a single hair.
That's because you don't have hair.
For 2 decades.
Because you have nothing to pluck.
I was laughing recently. I was in getting my eyelashes done there. Like, do you want us to thread your eyebrows? And I was like, there's nothing to thread. What are you talking about?
They were just like, this one will get loads of money off her.
Yeah, and she's like, "Would I? Do you want an eyebrow tint?" And I was like, "No way. I've done that Angry Bird stuff before. No thanks." So anyway,
so eyebrow transplant. How much are they?
£6,000.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's ludicrous. I'm sorry.
And there's only one place in London doing it, as far as I know.
What?
Yeah. Like, I mean...
Well, hold on. A full head of male hair doesn't even cost
£6,000. I know.
Talk about, like, that's like an eye cream scam.
I know, but hang on, right? You're forgetting that this is the early, early stages and the early adapter stuff. Like, I'd say we'll be having this conversation in 3 years' time. Everyone will be doing it. It'll be £500 down your local beauticians. Come on, so what's caught your attention?
Okay, so my complete, I'm obsessed with this Instagram account called F-L-A-A-K.
Flack.
Flack. But it's a French clinic down in the south of France, and they change your eye colour. Permanently change the pigment of your iris. And it is like mind-blowing. I mean, it isn't and it is. And when I first looked at it, I was like, you're absolutely mental. What is wrong with these people? Like, generally, it seems to be people with brown eyes going in, changing their eye colour to like blue, like crazy blue, yeah, or aqua colours or green colours, or kind of people with very dark brown kind of going lighter brown, Sahara brown. And it's permanent. And my initial thought was like, they're all batshit. But then I was like, do you know what? People probably think we're batshit as well. So, I mean,
mutating your lips.
Yeah, exactly. Like that, yeah. You know, so I mean, like, you know, each to their own. And if that's what what they want, off they go, you know, and that's
is
what makes
safe?
Them happy. So it actually initially was made for people who the therapy and the progress was made for people who were in accidents and so forth, or people who had cornea tears and rips, and or actually if you people who are albinos, to help put pigment back in so their eyes would be
protected
exactly from the sunlight. So they found a way to put pigment in under the cornea, and it was helping. It was a protecting factor, or was it, you know, a rehabilitation on damaged corneas? But then now with the advancements of lasers, as we've gone on now, they just use a tiny little micro laser to bore a hole in the cornea effectively, and then they insert the pigment in and the pigment goes round.
It dyes
the eyeballs, basically, yeah.
And tell me this, it's permanent.
It's permanent, yeah. It's $9,000. I do know, I inquired. And they wouldn't do, I said, would you do me? And they said, no, we can't do blue to brown.
Oh.
So like, why not? I'm not actually going to do it. I don't know. But when I was 15, I remember Nikki, there was a model called Nikki something. She was brown eyes.
Or green eyes.
Oh my God, I just wanted her eyes. And you just start fixating in on things going, oh, if I had that colour eyes, I would be a totally different person.
I mean, again, it kind of comes back to this, like, can we not just get an old, you know, contact and stick a colour contact?
Yeah, but anyone, I tried using colour contacts and I couldn't cope with it. I couldn't cope with them in my eyes. And you still look a bit weird. You still look a bit like Halloween-y with those colour contacts.
I've followed this Instagram account too. I think they all look a bit weird.
Yeah, they do look a bit like, you know, those the zombies on Game of Thrones. They're all a bit like, you know, those scary blue eyes. They all look a bit possessed, for sure.
Maybe that's the next thing. I think, I don't know, sometimes I think people are fucking bananas, but I mean, I'm sure people think we're bananas.
So coming up, we have our interview with our fantastic guest today, Vicky Notaro, award-winning journalist and just recently a debut author with her new book, Reality Check.
I'm so excited to talk to her. And look, none of this would be possible without a special thank you to our sponsors of this series podcast, Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie. Welcome, Vicky. Thank you so much for coming along and being our guest.
Having me.
Taking your time out.
I'm a fan, so this is excellent.
Oh, listen, we are fans. We are. Liz is just about to finish and I finished your amazing new book.
Ah.
So, which we have secret thoughts that you've actually written it vanity about us. Is it about us?
I kind of wish it was now, because your lives sound very glamorous together. You know, I was saying just before we came on air, I'm an only child, so the absolute neck of me writing about sisters, but I did it.
You wrote it beautifully.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm such a sponge. I think I just soak up everyone's life experiences and then rattle them off as fiction. So watch out.
It's amazing. And you have another book in the pipeline?
Yeah. So I just handed in the manuscript the other day. So I'm waiting for the edits to come back.
Are we allowed to know what it's called?
It's actually not confirmed yet. We had a title and then apparently someone has got it first. So I'm not sure yet. But it's about two best friends and it's in the same universe. Some of the characters from Reality Check will pop up.
Speaking of universes, the universe that you write about and that you kind of like inhabit, I suppose, in real life as well, is reality TV stars, beauty and so forth. Let's talk a little bit about beauty. Okay, so what are your thoughts on, where do you stand, I suppose, on aesthetics and like next gen beauty treatments, as
well,
I would call it?
My kind of overriding feeling is that I haven't had enough done.
Okay.
I was a magazine editor for 10 years and a beauty editor for longer than that, and I feel like I didn't take enough advantage of the treatments during that time. I'm absolutely not opposed to treatments and the future. The more sophisticated it gets, the better. I'm also a big believer in the power of makeup, though.
Yeah.
You know, I love a bit of slap.
Yeah.
And these days, the older I get, I'm 38 and a half now. So the older I get, I'm going a bit softer.
Yeah. On makeup?
On makeup.
Okay. Where are you? That's yeah, it. I always think that happens, doesn't it?
No. It's just, you know, it sits in the lines. But yeah. My Botox has just worn off. And I've had a bit of a funny time with Botox in that I've had some great Botox and I've had some terrible Botox.
Okay.
Sometimes from the same doctor.
Ah.
Yeah. Like
when
I've had horns in the past. They're dreadful. So it started maybe around 31, 32.
Okay.
And I'm not religious with it in that I might get it twice a year.
Okay.
But now that it's worn off, I actually like my eyes a lot more.
Okay.
So it's actually more I want my forehead to be smooth, but I want my eyes to look good.
Okay.
So I don't know, I just have a funny time with Botox. I love it sometimes.
Do you
hate
just
it others.
Get the uppers done?
I haven't got my eyes done yet.
Ah.
I just got my frown and my upper forehead done.
Okay.
Yeah. I've had no filler. Like I said, I haven't had enough done.
And tell me this, or do you want to name drop your doc?
I mean, I've gone to loads of different ones. I think my favourite is probably Dr. Emma.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Emma, she's actually not in Dublin at the moment.
No, she's up in Newry.
She's back up in Newry. Yeah. So she's like, come up to me. And I'm like, I don't drive.
Yeah,
Pain in the arse. Yeah. She's fabulous.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of trust her with my life. Yeah. Absolutely stunning, isn't she?
You're
she's got three kids. I'm like, well, from where?
Have you seen the husband?
Oh gorgeous. Yeah, gorgeous. So yeah, she's probably my favourite. I like Dr. Jerry in Renew Clinic as well.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try Dr. Fitzgerald. Is that her name? The Fitzgerald?
Yeah,
Fitzgerald. I think I'm going to try her next.
Okay.
My friend Noelle works there and she's amazing. She'll give you a new face.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, I kind of get afraid sometimes.
Well, don't be afraid. You just need to ask for a different option, basically. Right?
Yeah.
You're probably going in and getting like, and this is what
I want a lift.
People do this.
I want a little
lift. Yeah, but they can do it. So I don't know. I obviously haven't seen what they do or whatever, but like advanced injectors, you know, they do it very differently. They're not just going in doing the, you know,
same three areas,
whatever. They'd be putting in a little bit here.
Yeah.
I tried to get my forehead shortened because it's so freaking long. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I just find my eyes get higgy looking, right? They get swollen. So I think I'm allergic to everything. So I think I might be a bit sensitive to
it. Genuinely can be allergic. You're not allergic to any bovine products or anything, are you?
Like steak?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Because people who have a bovine
really?
Allergy, yeah, can be
well,
allergic.
Well, I'm allergic to feck and grass.
Oh,
so
there you go.
I mean, I just noticed my eyes get a bit piggy.
Okay.
That's the
from Botox.
From Botox.
Oh, but they're
and
in
it's
your
just
forehead.
Gone at the moment now. Okay. So I feel like my eyes are back to normal now.
I don't think that's an injection technique.
Yeah.
No, I think it's that my eyebrows puff up and they kind of depress my eyes.
Okay. Just tell them,
tell them not to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I know.
Please. So yeah, I'll go to Dr. Deirdre next.
So you're just
I'm a bit of
Botox.
A slapper.
Yeah, you are. We just had a conversation saying whatever you're doing, just make a little note in your phone saying had 60 mils or 60 Dysport with Dr. Deirdre. Because if you do shop around, or you know, if you are a bit of a doctor,
a hurrah for the
doctor
slush. Yeah,
it's good to know what you
what you actually
and what product you had as well, because a lot of the products aren't compatible. You know. So
right.
They need to know that. So people need to know that. So what about anything else? Have you done like
I haven't had any
lasers, peels?
I'm doing my first laser in a couple of weeks with Ivana Breen.
Yeah.
She has a new machine that's supposed to be fabulous.
BBL?
Fabulous.
No, she has the Cynosure
they said pain free and no downtime.
Yeah, right. They all say that.
They all say that. I had Softwave done. One round of Softwave didn't really see any difference.
You need to do a few on that.
Yeah.
I know.
Hurt like fuck.
Yeah, and by the way, they all hurt.
They all do.
So they all hurt. And anyone who says, oh, it's just a little bit uncomfortable, and that's like code for like, you'll be like digging your nails.
Thing.
But I am definitely of the opinion, if it's not hurting, it's not going to work.
Well,
do you know?
That's it. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I expected miracles from that. I expected a little facelift. So,
really?
Yeah.
From Softwave.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think again, like it's all about patient selection for those things. So like I've done loads of those things as well. I have a real thing about my neck.
Same.
And particularly when I had like a bit of extra weight on my neck, I tried old therapy.
That's where I'm at.
I've tried the soft wave. I've tried all of them. And actually the only thing that worked was I had to lose weight and put a load of Botox in my face.
That's the
thing.
And
now I probably need to get a scalpel.
I mean, the thing I'd love to get done more than anything is a breast reduction.
Oh.
So that is, that's top of my wish list, has been for years. I didn't want to get it before. I'd never been under anaesthetic before.
Okay. Mm.
So I didn't want to go under first time for a cosmetic treatment if I died.
Mm.
So
I hear you. Yeah.
So I had a little procedure done, a lady procedure done last year, and I was under for that, so I was grand.
Okay.
So now I'm like, right, the only off-putting thing is the money.
Yeah.
It's bloody expensive.
Yeah.
So I mean,
there's the good ones.
Yeah. I want to go to Dr. Richard Hansen.
Love
Richard.
Mr. Boobs.
The best boobs ever.
Yeah.
My boobs are gigantic. They're 38 double F. They're heavy. They hurt me. They're sore. You know, I just hate them. So I would love to get that done.
And can you not? My wish. Can you not, like, you know, chat to the doctor?
Yeah, my doctor's been kind of taking note of my sore shoulders and my sore back over the years. So I could try and get it.
A double F.
Yeah, I know. You don't know, though, until you go, I think, like, to kind of sign up.
Just need a singular letter saying that you
she's
been
in pain.
Yeah, and then it's not recovered from VHI. It's under the like the public health, isn't it?
Is it? Because I do have private healthcare through the husband's job. So, you know, I'll try. I'm going to go see Richard. I feel like they're going to tell me to lose 2 stone, right? Straight off the bat.
Mm.
So I've been trying to do that, but life gets in the way.
Ozempic. I've just lost 2 pounds. It's brilliant.
Really?
Yeah.
So I've made an appointment twice to go see the Ozempic doctor, Dr. Emma's husband.
Yeah.
And cancelled it because I was scared.
Oh
yeah!
Wow.
I don't. How do you feel?
Amazing.
Really?
I was
afraid of being sick.
No. Like for me, it has been the most life changing experience.
Really?
I've had. Yeah.
And you get the weekly injection.
Weekly injection. Like it's kind of doesn't really work anymore now. Now I'm just.
Right. What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
Giving such bad advice. But like, forget the boob injection. Just go on the SF.
Well, do you know what? If I thought I could lose them by losing weight,
well, I'll tell you, my boobs. I went from a double H. I'm back down to probably a double D now.
Wow.
Do you miss them though?
No. I'd like them smaller again.
I'd want them to go away.
So big still.
It's impossible to get dressed. I'm going to a wedding in Italy in hot weather this week and it's so annoying having to worry about the, you know, scaffolding that I have to have on under my little linen dress.
Yeah.
Do you find that like it's just everything's tent-like?
100%. You have to buy clothes tube size bigger and then you're,
and
you
then
know,
you're doing the,
then you're trying to
the
cinch
belt.
Your waist. Yeah, it's honestly the bane of my life. It's not just vanity, it's actual pain as well.
Yeah
the shoulders.
Know, shoulders, neck. Like I'm in the gym trying to strengthen everything. Then I'm afraid I'm making the pecs bigger underneath.
Yeah.
I know.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, it's difficult. So look, I'm going to go see Dr. Hansen. I'm going to say, Richard, what's the crack? What do you think? How much is this going to be? And then work it out. But I have been scared. I am a scaredy cat.
And but you know as well what they can do, and Richard in particular does it very well. They can do a little inbuilt bra. They can make a bra inside your breast with your skin to also lift you up. So not only do you get a much reduction, but you do get a lift as well because they use the skin to put us in a turn of bra. Now, you do get a scar.
I don't get shy about scars.
You don't care.
No. I mean, I hate them as they are now.
Right,
So if they're going to be perkier and have a scar, I don't mind.
You're right.
And also, I mean, down the line, come back to us when you've had it done. And in a year, 12 months afterwards, there's lasers for those scars.
Yeah, of course.
We'll really minimise them.
Yeah.
If you could be arsed.
I mean, I don't like looking at myself in the nip anyway. So, you know, I don't think a scar is going to really change that. It was more the fear of the anaesthetic that was kind of putting me off. I went for a consultation years ago when I was maybe 26, 27. And I don't know if you've had one, but they basically tell you, they measure where your nipple should be in accordance with your collarbone. And mine was way lower even then.
Yeah.
Because when I was younger and they were perky, you know, I didn't wear a bra. And now I'm paying the price.
I know.
So, no, that's not true. It's nothing to do with it.
Elasticity?
No.
It's just gravity.
Yeah.
Gravity and muscle mass and everything. Like, there's nothing you can do. Like, literally just the old thing.
Yeah,
but it annoys me that you can't, like, that it's not an automatic, like, on the NHS now, I know you have to wait forever.
Yeah.
Like, it is definitely a tick-the-box exercise.
I think we're getting better. Yeah. I think that consultation a few years back, that was maybe 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah. So I think it is by the GP. And my GP is amazing. So I'm going to go back to her and say,
what are you waiting for?
I'm just afraid. And the downtime, the procedure I had last year, I was off my feet for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, it's
and
a long time.
It's just a bit of a slog.
Nothing like that.
Is it not?
No. You'd be
really?
Like, no.
Because it's especially not, with somebody, not your internal organs. Yeah.
Especially an amazing surgeon like Richard.
Yeah.
He'll have you bandaged up and out the door and you'll be grand.
Yeah, just wearing those stupid bras and wearing the stupid surgical garments.
I feel like the bras I wear now are like surgical garments.
They are, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. As you said, like when you're going away in these little, like, you know, the heat of the bras and all that stuff.
Honestly, struggling into the shapewear is the bane of my existence.
Oh, listen.
Oh, yeah.
But the funny thing is, do you remember when I was...
I was wearing Skims and Spanx at the same thing. And I swear to God, poor Christmas. And I was like
Fire crotch
the whole of Christmas. I gave myself some kind of weird fucking STI.
I don't know about that now.
Yeah, that's what you say.
Latest confession.
Anyway, right, okay, so let's back
to
the table
question. So I know that you you worked with Hey You for years.
Yes.
And you have, like, I suppose I would call it an affiliation or a relationship.
An affinity
with the housewives.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call them the housewives in general because they're so many at this stage.
Yeah.
Do you think...
When we say the housewives, we mean the TV
the
show.
Real housewives, yeah,
the real
franchise.
Housewives of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. We'll tell you about our recent Dubai experience. We met some of the housewives.
Ooh.
We'll tell you about that in a minute. But the question I wanted to ask you was, because you've been working with them and, you know, in that kind of industry for a really, really long time. Do you think that your perception of beauty and these treatments and their accessibility and their acceptability has changed because of, you know,
that genre of television?
I think if you were to kind of blame, I guess, anyone, yeah, it's more the Kardashians and the Jenners.
Yeah.
And especially in younger women.
All your
fault. In young women, right? So, yeah, like, before Kylie Jenner, kids weren't getting filler.
No.
That was a whole new kind of TikTok,
yeah,
you know, Kylie Jenner thing. I think the Kardashians haven't always told the truth about their procedures
either.
They haven't. No. The housewives tend to be a bit more upfront.
They are.
They get it done on camera.
Yeah.
And, like, there are a lot of them are older women. So, like, you kind of want to know how they look so good. Yeah. And they have the money for it. I'm just like, you do you, you know?
Yeah.
Now, some of them go too far and some of them look absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think Irish women love a bit of cosmetic surgery. They just don't like to talk about it.
No, we don't.
So I think with the housewives, especially in places like the OC.
Oh, yeah.
So I visited Newport Beach in Southern California for research for the book.
Mm.
And everyone there had the exact same face and body.
Yeah, that is the problem.
It was
samey.
Crazy. Mm. I'd say they all had the same surgeon or the same kind of group of surgeons.
Well, it's just a look. And then also the other coast has got a look as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you guys fit right in. Statuesque blondes, gorgeous.
Statuesque,
like, no, you would. But everyone had the same shape boobs, the same shape face, the same hair. And if you went into a shop there, all the clothes were extra, extra small or extra small. And if you're any bigger, you had to ask for it.
Wow.
So I was saying to my husband, like, that shop just called me fat and poor.
Yeah.
Get me out of here. So, like, we didn't see any people of colour in Newport Beach. We were there for 3 days and everyone was blonde and white and conservative, very conservative. So, yeah, it's kind of fascinating. Each city, each show has kind of a different take on it. Mm. Yeah.
I've started watching Married to Med.
To Med. Oh, it's brilliant. It's so good. I love the very tenuous connection to medicine for a lot of them. Like, in the new season, Phaedra Parks is on it. And she was an Atlanta housewife and she's on Married to Medicine now because she's dating a doctor from Africa who we never meet.
But then random. Two, like, proper, like, there's a proper doctor and a there's a surgeon and a derm in there.
And they're amazing. And they've been on it since the start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny. And then I kind of wonder about their association with the others. I mean, the whole thing is very staged and, you
know, I mean, I think
facetious.
The housewives is a bit more kind of their actual friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have this social circle and they have this dynamic. And what happens when they try and force that is the likes of Dubai, where, and even Salt Lake City, where you can tell they're not best mates and they've all been thrown together for the show and they don't have that kind of natural connection that the, say, Beverly Hills or New York girls have.
Yeah. So, speaking of Dubai, Liz and I were just there and we met two of the housewives.
Which ones? Chanel?
The two Carolines.
I love Stanbury. Yeah. How's her facelift looking in real life?
Amazing.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a better one, but it's hard to tell on Instagram.
But she looks
incredible.
So beautiful in real life, like, surprisingly so.
I saw her at BravoCon. Yeah,
she's a tiny person. Like, I mean, she's a bit kind of like the Kardashians we see them in real life.
Yeah.
But tiny.
Yeah.
Everyone's tiny.
Like, everyone.
Everyone on TV. And I'm sure you've encountered that as well over the
years. Absolutely.
Every time you interview someone, you're like, you're freaking tiny.
Paul Rudd broke my heart. He was so handsome, but so teeny. And not even short, just like everything's petite about him.
Oh, tiny.
I know, because I loved him.
Isn't that the vibe, the Tom Cruise thing, or like Napoleon complex? I mean, you're small, you want to be bigger, and you find a medium.
I'm trying to think, is there anyone that's... Oh, Calvin Harris was tall and handsome when I interviewed him, and Channing Tatum, but he wasn't hot like he is in the movies. No, he had kind of flesh-coloured lips and he was kind of boring. Like, it was him and Jonah Hill and I actually liked Jonah more. Jonah was more crack. He showed me pictures of his dog, Carmela Soprano. Like, it was, it's been wild over the years meeting all these people in real life and seeing what they actually look like.
And Camille, of the celebrities or of the housewives, as we're back in the housewives genre, who do you think looks the best in terms of all her tweaks?
Dolores Catania from New Jersey. Are you familiar with her?
No.
She's gone out with an Irish man from the Belgard called Paulie. And I met Paulie. I met them at BravoCon. So a couple of years ago, I went to the Housewives convention in New York and
of
had the best 3 days of my life.
Really?
It was amazing. And I rocked up to Polly and I was like, hi, Polly, I'm from Tala. And we were besties straight away.
No,
Dolores looks incredible.
And tell me this, have you any confessions about your beauty? Like, so
no, I'm
you
so
want to get
boring.
Your boobs done.
Yeah.
You've done a bit of Botox.
Yeah.
You've never done any lasers.
No. My best friend is a makeup artist and he was doing my makeup for my book launch and he was like, would you get a bit of filler in your lips?
No.
And I was like, Aiden!
No.
No, I like to overdraw.
Aiden, your best
Aiden Corcoran.
Oh, yeah.
He's my BFF. I'm going for lunch with him after this, so I'll tell him you're awesome for him. You should have him on, actually. He's got all the tales of all the rich ladies. Yeah, no, I'm really super boring. It's actually quite annoying. I haven't even had laser hair removal.
Oh,
like,
my.
What am I doing?
What?
I know. I was so busy being a magazine editor, actually doing the work, actually doing 15 jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I didn't have time to get all these
cobbler people. With no shoes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think I got like fee brows 10 years ago and they faded away and now I just don't maintain them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a divil, but I'm now that I'm more of a lady of leisure, I feel like I should kind of put some effort into my appearance. So I'm booked in to get my teeth looked at, probably get Invisalign or something.
Go on, where
like
you go?
That. I'm going to Dr. Susie Ortho.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. Saw a few influencers going to her. Their teeth look amazing. I don't want veneers or anything. I just want
bit of Invisalign, bit of whitening.
Exactly.
Basic
and
stuff,
then I'm going to try and lose a bit of weight and then go from there, see what needs doing. But yeah, the boobs are a big one for me.
Okay. And if there was to be a Dublin Housewives, who would you cast?
Claudine Keane.
Yeah.
For feck's sake. Okay. She said that she, you know, spoke to the producers over there because she pops up in the background in a couple of Beverly Hills episodes and she's like, oh, I'm too boring. Like, I'm too, but I think she's just so glam. Who else would
she's
I cast?
She's beautiful. Yeah.
Stunning and so nice. Like, I want the you know, the glam honeys, like I like Roseanne Davison, Suzanne Jackson.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh my
god, I love her.
I love her. She's an
icon. Do you know what I love about her is that she's like a proper bowler of a businesswoman.
Oh, 100%.
Like, she is brilliant.
Yeah, she gives it her all.
Yeah, and actually Roseanne Davison, she's
so pretty.
I was at a wedding years ago and Rosanna was there and myself and one of my very good pals were sitting on the sun loungers and we were like, another cerveza, por favor, and can we have the club sandwich and we'll have chips and can I have some mayonnaise? And Rosanna came along, she sat down beside and she ordered like the crudités and she had like vodka.
Yeah, she's like
water.
A vegan, right?
And we were like, well, that's why she looks like that. This is why we're sitting here like eating our mayonnaise chips and our club sandwich and
but
having
you know what?
Beer.
That's living to me, is eating the mayonnaise. You know?
The fun pounds.
Exactly. Like I'm really looking forward to drowning myself in limoncello spritz this weekend and pizza and pasta and, you know, that's why.
And can I ask you about now you've moved on from, I suppose, traditional journalism. And now you're fully fledged, right? Well, you're a number
writer
now.
I'm trying to be an author full time. I still kind of do the odd interviews for the Sunday Times, the odd feature, because I still love writing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want this to be my full time job. So please buy my book.
Yes.
Reality Check. It's very good.
It is. It actually is brilliant. Like it's hilarious.
It's a bit of crack. I keep saying it's a bit of sexy crack. And
but it's very lovely. Well, it's very well written with really nice, you know, like the characters are very well built into one another.
Excuse me. This is not a book club here now.
Sorry.
It should be. Oh my God. You should do like an injectables book club.
An injectables
I would totally come to that. But like even in the book, like Desi, they talk about Desi getting her buccal fat removed.
Yeah.
Is it buccal or buccal?
Buccal
fat removed. And you know, like there's no kind of shame in any of their game about the work they've had done either. Like
I know, but this is, and that's, I suppose, again, that's kind of the premise of this podcast as well. It's like, do we kind of need to get rid of the shame? Do you know what I mean?
Of course, 100%.
Irish people are, as you said, mad for a bit of it, but they're not, we still have this taboo of, oh, I just had a bit of IPL.
We're so funny because we're so nosy as well. So we'd all love to know about everyone's
once
work.
Once you get your boobs done, which I'm sure you'll do, will you tell people? Or
oh, absolutely. Oh, I'll be moaning about the pain and everything. Like, I'm an awful moan. No, and hopefully they'll be visibly smaller and I'll be delighted with life. I'm wearing low-cut tops and, you know, not having to go out wearing scaffolding. So, I'm not. I'm kind of an open book, if you haven't got that already.
Before we wrap up, Vicky, have you any questions you'd like to ask us?
I want to know, what is the procedure that has been worth the money the most to you? Is it Ozempic or is it something with a machine?
Well, for me, I'd say two things for me. For me, firstly, has been Ozempic. It's like, I mean, changed my life mentally more than physically and mentally. It changed my whole my mindset about food, which has been the most interesting thing. So that food noise. So I used to get up in the morning and I'd be thinking about food,
right?
And then I'd finish food and I'd think about the next thing I was going to eat. And I don't think I ever experienced being full in my whole life ever. And now I have a biscuit and I go, that was nice.
And you don't want to eat the whole pack?
Nope.
Horseshit. I see you shoveling food into yourself.
She's left some chocolate in the
packet. Never have happened. That would never have happened a year ago. It would never have happened.
She's left two pieces of chocolate on the table, by the way.
And you don't feel sick or anything?
No. No. But
I've heard horror stories.
It's changed. Yeah, but I think there are people who are mismanaged. And also,
what about the hair? Well, I remember mentioning I was slagging you about your hair earlier, but we actually forgot to say
hair loss.
Fucking stenos.
I've definitely had hair loss.
From Ozempic.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh Christ, because I have a full head of stenos and I wouldn't want to lose any of my natural bit I have.
I know. So my hair is like, the hairdresser was like, it's like, where's the coming chair? It's like,
stop.
Yeah, it's gone. And I don't know. Look, I've also just had, I've had two babies back to back in my hormones.
And you were living in Galway. I'm telling you, the water in Galway is banjaxed. There's something wrong
definitely
with the water.
And I got
in Galway.
All the filters and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I don't.
And you're bleaching the head off yourself.
Bleaching the head off myself. So there's
there's a few factors.
And just all by
sorry, so back to my life changing treatment was for my body and my head and my overall well being.
Ozempic.
Ozempic.
And the then end. My, pass the button.
Yeah.
Liz.
We should have brought in the stick. I would say it's a toss up between the salad chair. Stop me peeing myself every 5 seconds.
I was say for your innards.
Yeah, innards.
And then the for your vulva.
Yeah, yes, my vulva.
Keep your innards.
Actually, my
innards.
Exactly. No prolapse
keep
here.
Your innards. Yeah, I suppose. For to stop me peeing myself, and it's better in the bedroom. And then I would say the tickle lipo.
Like I wish your episode about the tickle lipo, I love.
I done that when I was like, I don't know, 18. I know I probably shouldn't have done it then, but yeah, mad for it.
Does it only tickle?
That's grand.
Really?
Honestly, I've had worse root canals.
See, I have a fear that once I get going now, I'll be like a Stepford wife.
No, honestly, I know. But I suppose
I'm not rich enough, actually. So
but this is the kind of thing. That's why maybe the top ticket items is kind of good, because if it was cheaper, people would be jumping on the bandwagon.
We'd all be flat out.
Yeah, you know.
I still think, though, regardless of all of it, there is nothing in the world I would give up for Botox.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right, yeah, I suppose.
Nothing.
Yeah. Well, nothing comes close.
Sorry, if I had to give up every single other thing, including Ozempic, for
would you,
Botox.
Would you give up Ozempic for Botox?
Yeah. I think I'm going to taper off the old Ozempic now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now I'm going to...
Maintenance mode.
Now you have to go on to the Mounjaro. This is what they're all doing in Dubai
thing.
Now.
It's in Mounjaro.
So in Dubai, everyone has been on Ozempic for years in Dubai, right?
Right.
So we're like so last
it's
decade.
It's like the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, and they're all on Mounjaro now.
Right.
Which is like...
And I get it. Why? Because I was listening to another podcast the other day and the guy and it said he's like, I've out-eaten Ozempic. And I get that because I'm actually at the stage...
You're plateauing.
I kind of out-eat it.
Yeah.
So I know when my next injection is and the day before I know I can probably have a bit of a girl. So the mental problems that I've always had with food are still obviously
there. They're still there, right.
You know, so maybe I know.
So what's Mounjaro?
It's the next one.
Yeah. It's another thing and it's mixed with other things. So, I mean, like it's just...
It's a different type of medication.
Yeah, and also it's a slightly higher dosage, is it not?
No, it's just a different, like, I can't remember.
I think it's like, you know the way you're allowed to take Panadol and then you have to...
And Nurofen.
To have Nurofen. I think it's similar kind of concept.
Right.
To check your body, but loads of people... And
it's still a GLP. It's still a GLP thing. So it still, like, works with your satiety, but it's something else also to do with blood sugar. I can't remember the ins and outs, but
I just have this weird thing where I just want to do it myself. And I know eventually I'll get over that.
But I mean, like, if I've ever learned anything in the last year, this is it. It is a problem far bigger than your
yes.
brain.
Yes, 100%.
Right? And like, if Oprah Winfrey with her dietitians,
yes.
her, you know, live-in,
money
clock chefs, yeah. her work, if she can't do it, it is not to do with willpower. And as soon as
she's been on every diet. Go.
Yeah, and as soon as we can change that dialogue, like I was literally doing Ironman. Right. And like outrunning the gym, like you're strong as fuck as well. You're
I'm strong enough. The thing is, I hate diet culture, so I always feel guilty about wanting to lose weight. But then the doctor gives out to me all the time.
That's all part of it as well, because they don't understand. Because it's a disease.
My blood pressure, my cholesterol, all of it.
But like if I said to you, you've got depression, would you just think some happy thoughts?
No, I already take SSRIs, which contribute to weight gain.
You know what I mean? But like, I mean, if I told you 100%. To think better thoughts, it's
not
the same
do anything.
As telling somebody who's got a problem with food to
stop eating.
Like it's mad when you actually understand it. And like, there's something that has really changed in my brain about food.
and like my relationship with it and my relationship with being full. So I don't know. Look, this kind of turned into an Ozempic chat.
Yeah, well, it's all yeah. That's a confession that people won't fess up to. So
yeah.
Really, you think people
absolutely.
Are on the
people
DL
are
like
so
Ozempic.
Shy about it. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. People don't love revealing things about themselves in Ireland.
Yeah, they need to get over that.
They do.
Get on our podcast.
Come on.
Actually, yeah. That's not even Ireland. That's the world over. Sure, all the housewives are on their Ozempic as well, and they're not telling anyone either. They're all like, "Oh, I'm doing yoga. That's why I look so good. Oh, it's dancing." And you're like, "Away that."
Yeah, my new macro nutrition diet. Yeah.
It's all for me about lemon water.
Yeah. A life without chips is not a life worth living for me. No. So if, we'll see how we go. I'll come back in a few months and hopefully we'll have smaller rooms and some stories to tell you. Thank you for having
me.
And
on that note, we better wrap up because Ed has given me evils here. thank you so much.
Thank you.
Go buy Vicky's book.
Reality Check is out now.
Yeah, and it's got sequin cover.
It does.
Just love. Go. So we have a new section on the podcast called Loose Lips, and this is where we have DMs from Instagram, voice memos on our WhatsApp number, which we've added into the show notes. It's also up on our bio on our Instagram if you want to send us in a voice memo, whether it's questions about aesthetic things, confessions you want to talk about, or anything to do with the chats we have on Fess Up, please get in touch and we'll either help you out or give you our advice or our take on what's going on. What's in the inbox, Ed? Go on, give us one.
Right. Needless to say, we're in for an interesting time over the next couple of minutes. Who has loose lips? Let's hand it over. Ready?
Hey, Nikki. This is Trish from Spain. So my beauty confession is the first time I got Botox, I didn't want anyone to know. And I got it just before I went to a wedding. And I tend to bruise like a peach. So I got this weird, like only a small one, but really weird, obvious bruise on my forehead. I couldn't cover it up with makeup. So I was at the wedding and my uncle just asked me in front of everything what happened in my head. And I didn't know what to say because everyone was looking at me. So I just saw my sister standing next to me. And I was like, oh, my sister flicked me in the forehead. She was like, what? So was everyone else. They were like, why would your sister flick you in the forehead when you're in your like 30s? thank you to my lovely sister who played along with the joke for the rest of the night and continuously flicked me in my forehead for the rest of the wedding.
I'm going to start doing that to you now.
Oh my God.
But Botox bruising honestly is a real thing and it's really random. Like I've been getting Botox.
I always get the just around my eyes.
Do you?
Interior.
But I find sometimes I get and it's not the injector doesn't change. I think like to do with your hormones, your period cycle or something. You can bruise really easy sometimes and sometimes not.
100% bruise more if I've been drinking before, during or after those 3 days, the day
really?
Before, the day over, the day after.
Okay.
I bruise. And if I don't drink,
yeah.
Oh, it must be something to do with blood thinning or something. I don't know.
Okay, but definitely I would always, what I try and do now is take Arnica. I mean, it's tailors all the time, but I would like munch on it like Tic Tacs for a few days. You know, the little ones that you buy. So eat them for a few days before, a few days after. And I buy the Arnica gel as well and put it on the bruises. Get the cool packs if you can as well from the doctors. The problem with Botox bruises is they're so tiny and they end up, as she was saying, in really random places.
Yeah, right in the middle of your head.
Right in the middle of your forehead. Yeah. And they're a really hard colour. Like they're
the bruises around your lips.
Yeah, and they're just a really weird yellowy purple colour. And the only thing I've ever found to help in any way is Dermablend. It's a product from Vichy. Mm. And you can, like, I've seen people cover full body tattoos with this. It's a stick and you just tap it on very slightly and then put on your foundation on top of it or your base or whatever.
I've just been using Tom Ford's pan stick forever.
Yeah, well, that's a very expensive way of covering up your Botox bruises.
I'm devastated.
Oh, I hate when they do that.
No.
Okay, so Botox bruises, yeah, it's real. I mean, if I was you, I'd just be fessing up going, I had the old tox.
All else fails, yeah.
Yeah, just fess up. Yeah, just go, yeah. Freshly toxed. This is the cause.
Thanks, Trish.
Thank you.
I'm learning so much. Here we go. We're going to Cork. I have a funny feeling for this one. Here we go. Loose lips from Cork.
Hey girls, come here. I've been getting lip filler now for the last couple of years, but like my lips are starting to look like they're gonna fucking burst or something. So I was thinking about getting maybe getting it dissolved or I don't know, going to Turkey and getting it like that. What's it called? Like a lip flip or something like that. What would your thoughts be on that?
Wait, there's more. She followed it up.
I mean, like, do you know when you're starting to look a bit like a duck's arse? Like, what the fuck do you do about that?
That's very funny. We didn't get her name. She never left her name. But thank you for that.
Thank you.
First of all, please don't go to Turkey. Please don't go to Turkey. We will get into that in a while. But like, you know, there's solutions you can do here in Ireland before you do anything else. That is a problem with like, there is a problem with overfilling. I mean, apart from the obvious of putting in too much, a lot of the time people are cheating, right, on their injector and they're going, right, well, I did a bit with her and I'm going to go somewhere else and do a bit with such and such. And I'm going to go to another clinic because they've got an offer on and they're doing, you know, free lips with your forehead or whatever. So first things first is you should try and stay with the same injector.
Consistency is key.
Yeah, because from a product point of view, because people are putting in a different filler. Like there's about 300 fillers in the market. So, and they don't necessarily all, you know.
Gel with each other.
Yeah, exactly.
And they layer.
Yeah, and they start bumping up. And the problem again with lip filler is that it starts, like a lot of people know this, it migrates, it passes the vermilion border, which is your lip border, and it goes in around your orbital muscle. And that's when, as she was saying, you get the duck's arse.
Yeah.
Basically, like it's the filler going the not where
real,
it's supposed
ladies.
To be.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is real. And like, so people are like, should I get them dissolved? Okay. And actually, be careful about people. Oh, like, I think this is an easy option. It's like, just, you know, like, I'll erase it out. It'll be grand. No, not so much. Like, first of all, hyaluronase, which is the product that they use, it doesn't discriminate between filler and tissue, right? So when they inject in the antidote as such, it also disintegrates your natural tissue. So your lips will, your lip tissue and your muscle tissue starts getting hit as well in the process. So not only are your lips back to where they were, they could
sometimes
even
be worse.
Worse than where they started off with. So,
and if they've been really filled for years, there can be, I mean, the skin, particularly for these, you know, ones who've had really big, overfilled lips, the skin can be stretched.
The skin can be stretched,
so
yeah.
Then you end up with
saggy
divots,
skin.
Divots and dimps. Like, I mean, look, that's kind of the extreme end. But most people, if you've had a bit of lip filler, yes, you can dissolve it if you're going to a reputable place and they know what. This is the other thing. Do they know what's been put into your
yeah.
lips? So whoever's injecting you should be able to dissolve you because they know what they've been using. But if you're going into somewhere and you're asking them to, you know, dissolve your lips, they may not do it because they won't know what's been put in.
Yeah, I always think it's a good idea, no matter what treatment you're getting done, whether it's filler or toxins or anything, to put a little note in your phone to say, I was in Clinic X and today I got 2 mils of Restylane in my cheeks and I got 3 mils of Dysport up or whatever, 20 units of Dysport in my forehead or something, just so you have a note of it. And also, you know, and again, if you're changing or if something goes wrong, you have a note of what you've done. So, but the other, as she was saying, the other option is the surgical option. So, a lot of people.
She's calling a lip flip. So, let's.
It's not a lip flip.
It's not a lip flip. A lip flip is where they use Botox to stop the muscle above your lip from curling your lip in. So, I have a natural curl in my top lip and it curls in, which gives me that thin lip when I smile. So, when they put Botox in around the mouth, it basically relaxes that and your lip won't curl and it gives the appearance of a fuller lip.
Yes.
You don't need to go to Turkey for that. A decent injector here in Ireland can do that for you. But what I think she was probably referring to was a surgical lip lift.
Yeah.
And so a surgical lip lift is where they take a slither of skin from underneath the nose here,
like
a couple of mils, and they lift the whole thing up like this.
It's called a bullhorn, isn't it? The bullhorn lift.
Yeah, some call it bullhorn. There's a couple of different names for it, but I've seen it done. It's absolutely incredible, particularly as we get older.
The Feltrum,
which is the
skin.
The skin from your nose to
your cupid's
top
lip,
of your lip.
Elongates.
So it basically elongates and we get the whole longer upper lip. So as we age that gets longer, you can cut that and basically remove a slither of skin and make it shorter. And it also pulls up your top lip and gives you a lip lift, a natural lip lift. It is a permanent solution. It is a successful permanent solution. If you are going to get it done, I would only recommend going to a skilled facial plastic surgeon. And my caveat is that it's a facial plastic surgeon, not just a general plastic surgeon. It is a particularly skilled thing. And if they do it wrong, you'll have a big scar right
under your nose. Yeah.
So it's an amazing treatment. It's not too expensive. The downtime's pretty low. And if it heals and heals well, it's an incredible treatment. But I would not be going anywhere.
I think as well, like for people who have been having lip filler for many, many years and As you said, the skin is now, if they do deflate it, the skin is kind of saggy, and there's also the dysmorphia, you know, and you're going, my lips are too small for my face, etc., etc.
Like, I actually had that Exeon thing on my lips. You know, the BTL Exeon thing, it's like a rollerball and use it.
Oh, radio frequency.
Yeah, like it was really nice. It definitely gave me a bit of plumpness, a bit of fullness, but I'd say I'd need to have a good few treatments in order to see some proper results from it.
Yeah, but in terms of the surgical option is generally often the only way, or else you just go back. I know Cormac Joyce, he's an IOPS plastic surgeon. He works out in Monkstown. He does a very good lip lift. And he does it under local anaesthetic as well. So if you're looking for someone good, there's someone you can go to.
Recommendation.
Yeah.
So guys, that is all we have time for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please send us your loose lips confessions and questions on our social channels and our new WhatsApp number, which we'll post on the show notes and on Instagram. Thanks so much for joining in, and come back for us for next week. We have a really interesting guest. Watch this space.
And before we sign off, a special thanks, of course, to Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie, and we'll see you back here next week.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud.
Sounds better with us.